Doctor. Dear congregation, we read in Isaiah 9 in verse 6 these words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And we notice the first title or name given to the Lord, Wonderful, literally a miracle, marvellous, wonderful. And considering the Lord Jesus Christ, he is marvellous, he is wonderful. We know a little of him, but there is so much more to be learned. To know the love of Christ, says the apostle, which passeth knowledge. He is wonderful. Do you consider your Saviour tonight as marvellous? Can you testify that he is my wonderful Saviour, shepherd and friend? Now here recorded for us in the Word of God is this event concerning a certain angel. And as we've already considered, we are led to consider the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is Wonderful. Here is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, as we shall discover in a moment. Well, the angel first appeared to Manoah's wife with news of a son. Come and meet to verse 3. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." She would have a son. If you go down to verse 24, the name of the son would be called Samson. Well, having heard the news, she goes and tells her husband. Come with me to verse 6. "Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name." So Manoah hears that an angel, a man, has visited his wife. And in view of this, in verse 8 we read, "And Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." He pleads. We just sung there in the psalm, "Let my prayer prevail." And Manoah so prayed, praying that the Lord would hear. Well, his prayer prevailed. And we read in verse 9, "And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her." Now that's interesting, isn't it? Manoah's prayer was answered, but he yet did not meet the angel. Well, the angel visits again Manoah's wife. And we're told in verse 10, "And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am." So now Manoah meets the angel. Well, he desires direction. Notice verse 12. "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him?" Direction. They want to know. How are they to order Samson? How are they to bring up Samson? And here we have an example for godly parents to go to the Lord for direction on how they are to bring up their child. Well, the Lord, he speaks unto Manoah. Verse 13, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware." Now Manoah is curious. And we notice in verse 17, he makes this request, or makes this question before the angel of the Lord. "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour?" He wants to know. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Seeing it is secret. Now the Hebrew can be translated here as secret, to convey that many a man had not known. And there was so much to be known, as we consider the angel here. Yet we also note from the Hebrew that the word which is translated here as secret can be translated as wonderful, remarkable. Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is wonderful, remarkable, secret? And then we're told this in verse 19. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously or marvelously. Are we being led to consider who the angel is? It's the Lord, whose name is Wonderful. We think of God the Son here in a pre-incarnate appearance, in the form of an angel or a man, not the nature, but the form of a man or an angel. And he had appeared. Now just come back with me right at the outset to verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us. He didn't know who it was then, but he makes this prayer, let the man of God which thou didst send come again. And that's our prayer, isn't it? He whose name is Wonderful, come again. Come again to our hearts. Come again to this church in a special way tonight. Come again to the church here upon earth. So here tonight, we consider a pre-incarnate appearance of God the Son. His name is secret or wonderful. For the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider three things. First of all, he is wonderful. Secondly, he brings life and peace. Thirdly, he is to be desired. And we learn all these things from the occasion here before us tonight, recorded in Judges. Well, first of all, he is wonderful. Just notice verse 19. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. The angel did wondrously. The angel whose name is Wonderful did wondrously. Now just come back again to verse 17. What is thy name, says Manoah, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? As already mentioned, his name hath been hidden from many. It's wonderful. Too wonderful to fully comprehend. That's the sense here. Too wonderful to fully comprehend. It's a secret. Remember those words of the apostle? Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift. What words can really sum up the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here in the Old Testament, his name is secret. It's wonderful. Too wonderful. Now consider, his name often speaks of himself, his nature, his essence in the Bible. And as we consider the nature of the Lord, the essence, it's too wonderful. It cannot be fully comprehended. Me and John were mentioning after the service this morning the Trinity and what the Reverend Morris Roberts said. Yes, we believe it and we have some understanding, but in all eternity we'll be beginning to grasp it. Well, as we consider the Lord, we know a little about his nature, his essence, but all throughout all eternity we'll still be learning. Wonderful. It cannot be fully comprehended. It's secret. So many know nothing of Jesus Christ. Yet we know a little through the word, and particularly in the gospel. His name shall be called Wonderful. Let me just illustrate this. Many people in December hear those words, Wonderful. But they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. The name is hidden to them. but it's been revealed to us a little. His name is wonderful. We consider him, he is wonderful. He's too wonderful. We're never fully grasp the glory of Christ. But oh, his name is wonderful. Marvelous. A miracle. He is wonderful. We know it to be true as we look to the Word of God, and we have learnt it by experience. In Genesis 30, verse 27, we read, "And Laban said unto him," that's to Jacob, "I pray thee, if I have found favour in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." You see what there? He had learned through experience. And we have learned through experience that the Lord's name is wonderful. We who love the Lord, have you all? Or is this name so secret to you? You don't know anything really of Jesus. What a blessing the Lord has made known. And we know a little that his name is wonderful. He's the counselor. What do we read here in verse 18? "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" It's a secret, hidden from so many, but revealed a little in the gospel. And we know a little of the name of Jesus. What he is like, he is wonderful. He is wonderful. The Lord makes this plain here to Manoah. And as you read in verse 19, he reveals the glory of himself by doing wondrously. Fire is brought and consumes the offering. The angel did wondrously. Well, at this moment, let's consider three particular things as we consider he who is called wonderful. First of all, he is a saviour too wonderful. Secondly, he is a shepherd too wonderful. Thirdly, he is a friend too wonderful. First of all, he is a saviour too wonderful. In a moment, we'll consider that there is life and peace through him. Manoah's wife recognised this, and Manoah went on his way knowing it. He's a wonderful saviour. He's the only true saviour. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Remember what Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the only Saviour. We live in a day when so many are taught to not upset others. Don't upset other religions. There's many ways to God. The Lord Jesus made it plain there isn't. Only himself. "I am the way." No other saviour, no other one for men and women, boys and girls. Oh, what a saviour he is, a saviour too wonderful. He came. He came into the world to save sinners, as the apostle. Remember those shepherds, they were fearful. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." They wondered, were they about to die, as Gideon did, as we will note in a moment. They were told the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. "Fear not." Oh, consider him. He came to save, and he did wondrously. It's a lovely word, isn't it, in verse 19. The angel did wondrously. We think of what the angel, the Lord, did there with the sacrifice. Fire came and consumed it. He did wondrously. Oh, consider what he did here upon earth. He did wondrously. He offered up himself as the sacrifice. He met the conditions of life, the holiness of nature. He was holy, the spotless Lamb of God. We think secondly of the righteousness of his life. He kept the law perfectly. "Thy law is within my heart," as we see in Psalm 40. Then thirdly, he made satisfaction for sin, or he suffered the penalty for the broken law. He met the condition. He went all the way to the cross. He cried, "It is finished," and so satisfied the justice of God. He did wondrously. We thought this morning of his sufferings and what he went through. I say this carefully, he did wondrously, because what he went through, what he endured, was accepted by God. He did wondrously. What a wonderful Saviour he is, a Saviour too wonderful. He made satisfaction. It was all accepted. Now just come with me to verse 20. For it came to pass when the flame went up towards heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. We'll come back to that in a moment. But you see there, the angel goes up in the flame. It was accepted, the sacrifice, and the sacrifice of himself was accepted. What a wonderful Saviour he is. He's the mediator. We consider further, he is the substitute for all who believe. Have you looked to him? Is anyone here without Christ? Just listen to these words in Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. You may have been brought to church for a while. Have you looked unto Jesus? If not, look now. Look unto Jesus, the wonderful Saviour. Well, he did wondrously here upon earth. He does wondrously in the time of love. He draws near. There's peace and life through him. As we will note in a moment, he draws near to a poor sinner. Dear brothers and sisters, he did wondrously, didn't he? He came to you through the Spirit and through the Word. And he picked you up and put you on his shoulder. He did wondrously in the time of love. His name is a secret, but through the gospel we begin to know a little of this Saviour who is wonderful. Secondly, he is a shepherd too wonderful. We read earlier of those who rejected him in John chapter 10, but there were those that believed in him, the wonderful shepherd. Remember what he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, the wonderful shepherd. He gave his life, as we have already seen. Consider how he feeds. He does wondrously how he feeds us. At times we can be weary and we can be cast down. But then the shepherd through the Spirit and the Word feeds us and we feel that strengthening. He feeds us. He leads us. How he leads us. He gently leads those that are with young. Isaiah 40 verse 11. He does wondrously. All the way my Saviour led me, one of old wrote. He does wondrously. How he guides. How he cares for those that love him. You consider his care of you. He does wondrously. No one cares like Jesus do they? How he wonderfully cares. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because we know of his wondrous dealings with us. He doth wondrously. He's a shepherd too wonderful. We know a little, but there's so much more to know. And there's so much more he will do for us. We can look back and consider he's done wondrously as a shepherd. We'll look to the future. And he'll do wondrously again. Oh, to know more of his dealings. And we will. To know more of his shepherd's heart and his shepherding, we will know. Thirdly, he is a friend too wonderful. He is a friend too wonderful. Manoah's wife grasped this to begin with, but then Manoah, he was a friend to them. There was life. And there was peace. He is a friend too wonderful. In the Song of Solomon 5 verse 16 we read, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. What a privilege to be able to say that. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. You know, you may have a close friend and you go to a certain place and you say to someone else, come and meet my friend. Oh, that I would say that more often. You know what I'm saying? Come and meet my friend, my Saviour. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. He's altogether lovely. He's a friend too wonderful. When we seriously sit down and consider the Lord Jesus Christ, such a friend he is, he's too wonderful, isn't he? There's no friend like him. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We think of the ties, the family ties, a brother, a sister. But there's a friend who's closer. You brothers and sisters here tonight, is Jesus closer to you than your close brothers and sisters? There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You may have a brother, you may have a sister, and you know them, you spend time with them. But you can honestly say Jesus is so much more closer. He's that close friend. Lovely words, aren't they? There is a friend that sticketh closer. He doesn't desert. He spends time with us. He knows everything about us. He knows our sin. He's wonderful, isn't he? If he knows everything about us, if he knows our sin, and yet he doesn't depart, he's too wonderful, isn't he? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. At times you may feel alone, but you're not, because your friend is there. A friend too wonderful. A wonderful friend. The best of friends. You know, I've said this before. And it's not wrong when you speak of someone as a best friend. But let's try to think like this. We may have some best friends. But the best of friends to me is the Lord Jesus Christ. The best of friends. A friend too wonderful. We've got friends, but at times even the best of friends can disappoint, but not Jesus. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the best of friends, a friend that comes alongside in a wonderful way, and he does wondrously, doesn't he? How he talks to us through the word. How he consoles with us. How he helps us. At times we feel we're on the ground. He comes along and he strengthens our knees and he causes us to walk. What a friend he is. You know, you may see someone, they've fallen over and someone comes alongside and picks them up and helps them to their feet. Or Jesus comes along, he helps us to our feet, but it is more. He carries us when we can't, as it were, find the strength to put one foot in front of another. He's a friend too wonderful. Listen to Charles Bridge. Let his people bear witness, whether he be not the greatest, best, most loving and faithful of friends. He is, isn't he? Let's just stop tonight. Can you truly say in the presence of Jesus, thou art the best of friends, my greatest friend, my best friend, my most loving friend, and my most faithful friend? If you can, you're beginning to think he's wonderful, aren't you? He's a friend, wonderful. You consider there in the Song of Solomon, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. How does the church say it there? In a cold way, no. With all in the heart. With the heart stirred and moved. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. You see how the bride there, the church, the believer there in the song, is seeking to convey Christ over us as a wonderful friend. Oh, that I would tell people this week of a wonderful friend. The best of friends. He is wonderful. My name, it is secret. It's wonderful. So many do not know the name of Jesus. Sadly, they will blaspheme it, but they don't know but through the gospel has been revealed a precious name, the name of Jesus. He is wonderful. Secondly, tonight, he brings life and peace. He brings life and peace. Come with me to verse 22. Rather, verse 20, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. That's interesting, isn't it? So clearly shows us it was a pre-incarnate appearance of God. Of God the Son, rather. Because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at this time have told us such things as these. Now consider Manoah. He felt that death was imminent because they had seen God. There was this notion in those days that if there was an appearance of God, death would follow. And so, like Gideon, there was a surprise when death did not come. Back in Judges 6, verse 22, we read, alas, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the face of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Gideon thought he was about to die because he had seen God, an appearance of God, an appearance of the pre-incarnate Son of God. But he would not die. There's life and peace through Jesus Christ. Manoah's wife, her faith was strong. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would have not received the burnt offering. She knew. Manoah is fearful of death. Manoah's wife is strong in the Lord. Sometimes it can be like that. The wife can be stronger. Now consider God as a holy God. He hates sin. But here we consider there is life in the presence of the angel. In the presence of God, the Son. There's life. And there's peace. Manoah and his wife, they didn't die. They lived. There's life through Jesus Christ. There's life through him whose name is Wonderful. You remember those shepherds again? They were fearful of death. You know, so many don't realize that, do they? It's not conveyed on those cards, is it? You see a little scene. They're fearful of death. But they're told the gospel. That there's life through Jesus Christ. Oh, what good news it is. There's life through him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But have everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath life. 1 John 5 verse 12. There's life. Spiritual life and the title to eternal life, and eternal life will be enjoyed. This life through Jesus Christ. Have you life? Have you the hope of heaven? Manoah and his wife went in on their way, knowing there was life and peace because of the angel. What a blessing to go on our way. Knowing there is life and peace because of Jesus Christ. Knowing that we have life. The Apostle Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's a wonderful testimony, isn't it? Christ liveth in me. God hates sin, but there's life through Jesus. And he's given me life, and he lives within my life. There's life through him who is wonderful, and there's peace. There was peace in the heart of Manoah's wife, and soon there will be peace in Manoah's heart as well. Just go back to Judges chapter 6 and verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Peace. There's life and there's peace. Manoah was troubled. He thought he was about to die. But soon peace fills his heart. It had already filled the heart of his wife. It soon filled his heart. What precious words were said unto Gideon, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." There's life in the presence of the Lord. There's peace. Yes, we must face physical death. We must die. But for we who love the Lord, the moment of death means then life. When we die, it's life with Jesus in heaven. Not so for the unbeliever. Eternal death will now be their portion. Peace. Manoah's wife knew it. Tranquility had filled her soul in the presence of the angel. Peace. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." Peace. Peace through Jesus. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ knows the hearts of his people. They know peace, but then they get troubled. And so he comes again. "Peace I leave with you." Remember the first Lord's Day, the day of resurrection. He said, "Peace be unto thee, unto you." He came again, and he keeps coming, because he knows we need it. "Peace I leave with you." Manoah's wife, she knew peace, filling her soul. And then Manoah did, "Is peace again tonight, filling your heart? All is well for me." The psalmist said in Psalm 4 verse 8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." I will both lay me down in peace. You know, before you go to bed tonight, seek to focus on Jesus. And all of your last thoughts tonight would be this, that Jesus speaks peace. "Peace I leave with you." Oh, to go to bed tonight thinking of the Prince of Peace. That would be a lovely way to go to bed every night, wouldn't it? Thinking of Jesus. Oh, that my last thoughts every night this week would be of Jesus and the peace he brings, so that I would lay down in peace, and then at the end of life, to depart in peace, to lay down in peace. There is life and peace through him who is wonderful. Is peace filling your heart? Well, thirdly and finally tonight, he is to be desired. He is to be desired. Just come with me again to verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." Let him come again. There's so much there, isn't there? Let him come again. He came to his wife, but he wasn't there. Let him come again. He comes again, but he's not there. He goes to the wife, but not to... But then he meets him. "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us." Come again. We need the Lord, don't we? How often we should be going to Jesus. As a parent, as a father, I need Jesus as I bring up my children. Oh, that every father and mother would think that in this country. What a change it would be if every parent saw their need of Jesus in bringing up their children. You children here, you be thankful your parents see their need of Jesus in bringing you up. You're privileged, you're blessed to have parents who see their need of Jesus in bringing you up. Oh, that many more parents would see their need of Jesus. We who are parents keep going to Jesus. And then us all, how we need him. Come again. We feel his absence at times. Come again. We feel sometimes he's gone to that person, but not to us. Come again. You as a husband may feel he's gone to my wife, but come to me. You as a wife may feel he's gone to my husband, but come to me. He's gone to that Christian, but come to me. Come again. Sadly, there are times of backsliding. But oh, be thankful when the shepherd does wondrously and he begins to restore your soul and you feel your need of him and you say, come again. You plead, come again. Be thankful that the Lord stirs our hearts. As we see in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, by night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I'll be very honest with you. I do feel that at times. I do miss Jesus at times. And I'm not ashamed to make this prayer with Manoah. Let the man of God come again. Come again. By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, saw ye him, whom my soul loveth? Have you seen him? There's a believer going to a minister. Tell me of Jesus. You know, it concerns me when I think of certain ones. They don't want to be told where to find Jesus in a special way. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. I found him. Our prayer is, come again. And I found him. I found him whom my soul loveth. My heart seemed so cold, but there was love in my heart still. And I pray, come again. Tell me where thou feedest. And I found him and I held him and would not let him go. Here is one having their heart inflamed. They hold on to Christ. Come again. Don't be ashamed to pray it if you feel it. And if you feel it, that's a good thing, isn't it? I'm concerned at the times when I don't feel it, when Jesus is absent to a little measure. Oh, to feel it. Come again, Lord. The angel came. The angel visited. And Manoah found. Now one may say, well, the angel went up and appeared no more. Well, it's a lovely type here, isn't it? Our Lord at his ascension went up. And we don't see him here upon earth. But he comes in a spiritual way. Come again. But then our prayer is, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come again. But before thou dost come in that great way, come in a visitation. Come again, that we will be so aware of the name Emmanuel. It's a precious thing, isn't it, when we sense the Lord is here. Oh, for a day when we so sense that Emmanuel has come before he returns on that great day. Our prayer is with Manoah, let the man of God come again. Let there be a visitation of Christ. Come again. He's to be desired. Do not we desire him? Do not we miss him at times? I do. Sadly, all too often. Oh, to miss him and then to find him. Oh, that Jesus would be right in the midst of every congregation in this nation. And revival would come. Let him come again. I need thee, Lord Jesus. Says the Father, says the Mother, says the Christian. Come again, says the people of God as a whole. Come again and do wondrously. We've looked back, thou hast done wondrously. We know that thou art too wonderful by name, but we want thee to come again, for we want to know more of thee, and we want thee to do wondrously before our eyes. In closing, we think here of a prayer of one who had faith. Let me ask, have you sought? Have you desired the Lord in that initial way? Men by nature, they don't seek the Lord, as we see in Psalm 10 verse 4. But all through grace they're drawn. Have you sought him? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Oh, to seek him in prayer, to be earnest. Luke 13 verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, strive, agonize. That's the call of the gospel, isn't it? Strive, if you're not a Christian, strive, earnestly pray, Lord save me. It may be just a simple little prayer, Lord save me, but if it's earnestly meant, it will be heard. A genuine prayer is heard by the Lord. Strive, earnestly seek the Lord, and you will find. And we who love the Lord, let's seek Jesus again. We know him to be wonderful. We know him to do a wondrous work. We want him again. Let him come again to us. And let him come in a way too wonderful for us that we so sense the presence of Jesus. Is not our prayer tonight with Manoah? Let him come again. Let the King, whose name is wonderful, visit his church in this nation in a wondrous way.